Good evening and welcome to Romford Baptist Church this evening. My name's Ian, I'm one of the pastors here, and Vicky, another of the pastors, is going to be sharing this service with me as we worship God together. There's so much of beauty around us, so much that gives us great joy. And the psalmist says these words, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him." Let's come and praise him as we sing that song. Come, now is the time to worship. Lord, we come this evening as your creation, along with all of creation, to praise and worship and adore you. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of creation, for all in creation that we see that reminds us of you. The morning promise as the sun rises to the sun setting in the evening, reminding us of your continual faithfulness as you go and wake alongside the people of distant shores. From the beauty of creation of our gardens to the parks, to the hills and the rivers, and all that brings us delight, we praise you. And Father God, this evening as we come to worship you, we want to say to you that we love you. We love your creation. We love all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. And Lord, as we think of creation, we come also in confession for that which we have done that has harmed your creation. From the environment to the created beings you have made. We confess at times we have hurt one another and we have hurt you. And Lord, in the beginning of this worship, as we come to you, we come in confession that, Lord, you will forgive us and you will give us hope. Lord, in this time of worship, we also want to recognize our need of you. Lord, may you be sovereign over all that we do. We bring our prayers in the name of our Lord and our Savior, who taught us to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen." As we've just sung that song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." I wonder what you're praising God to for tonight. If you started your list, "I want to praise you, God, for this," I wonder what your list would hold. Vicky's going to read to us a creation poem that maybe we will enjoy and give thanks to God as we do.
The Creation Poem by James Weldon Johnson. And God stepped out on space. And he looked around and said, "I'm lonely. I'll make me a world." And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good." Then God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world. And God said, "That's good." Then God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered around his head, and the earth was under his feet. And God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands and the thunders rolled and the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land and he said, "Bring forth, bring forth." And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls, beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's good." Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun, and he looked at his moon, and he looked at his little stars, and he looked on his world with all its living things. And God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think by a deep, wide river. He sat down with his head in his hands, and God thought and thought, till he thought, "I'll make me a man." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand. This great God, like a mummy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen.
As we have heard about creation through that poem, we now have the opportunity to watch a video and reflect on the beauty of God's creation, and maybe continuing our thanksgiving to God for his creation. Let us come and pray and give our thanks to God. And Lord, we do want to say thank you. Thank you for the great creation that you have entrusted us to. Lord, as we read through the scriptures, we read about the glory of you shown in creation. Yet, Lord, even in our understanding creation, we only see a small amount of who you are. Yet, Lord, the beauty of your creation is overwhelming. We thank you, Lord, also that we see creation in the arts, in those who can paint and craft and make music. We thank you for all of creation and all that brings us pleasure in our day-to-day living. We thank you, Lord, for those moments of awe and wonder as we see something beautiful, from the beauty of a butterfly to the wings of an eagle, to the splash of a whale and the running of the fox. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have made. And this day, Lord, as we want to just give you thanks, we want to join with the whole of creation to praise and glorify you, Creator God. We know, Lord, that this world is not an accident. Nothing was made by mistake, but all was created by you. We praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hopefully you have received your notice sheet for this week, and please read it carefully. There's a lot of important information on those notices. We will be meeting again this week, and we'll be meeting in the way we have done over the last number of weeks, on Tuesday for prayer via Zoom, and Journeys will also be meeting on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we will meet in the morning for the virtual meeting place at 10:30, and then in the evening at 7:45, we will be continuing our course on Talking Jesus and sharing our faith. Please note those other notices that are on the sheets and read them carefully, that we can just keep communicating in that way. We thank you all who have brought offerings and given offerings to the church through the banks, online, and all the various ways. We thank you for that. It has enabled us to maintain the stability of the church financially at this time. Let's bring our prayers of thanks for the offering. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the offering. We thank you, Lord, for all that we have been able to do and give through these offerings, for the people we've been able to help through the food bank, to those in need that we've been able to deliver to. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we have been able to continue our services and stream them in the way we have done, because we have the resources to do it. And we thank you, Lord, for every life and every person that has been touched by you at this time. And Lord, we pray that in our worship, in our giving, we will honour you. We thank you, Lord, for the ways we can give you. And Lord, we pray we will just be faithful, in Jesus' name. And as we pray, we continue with our prayers of intercession. And Lord, we do bring this world to you, a world which is still trying to work out the way forward after coronavirus. And Lord, we pray for the governments of this world, for all the police and all the those who are caring for those with COVID. We thank you for our hospitals, Lord, and all that they have done. And Lord, as we as a nation try to navigate and find ways through, we pray, Lord, that you will give our leaders wisdom. You will give them direction. And Lord, as we come out of COVID, we pray, Lord, that your hand will be upon this nation. We want to praise and magnify you, Lord, for the way your hand has been on this church and upon Parkside during this time. And Lord, we thank you that your love has been shown through so many acts of kindness. And Lord, we pray as we look forward that we will continue to be your hands and feet, to do your work, to help you in your mission to make Jesus known. We pray for the homeless and those who are addicts, those who can't find a way of getting themselves back on their feet. Lord, we pray that you will surround them with people who can help them. And Lord, at this time when lockdown starts to ease, we pray for all those who are imprisoned by fears, by despair. And Lord, I pray that you will surround each person watching this service with the deepest sense of peace. And you will guide each one of us. We continue to pray for your world, and we pray for our mission partners. We pray for Rich and Alison up at Harold Hill with Church 123. Lord, we pray you'll continue to work through them. We continue to pray for the church on Canvey Island. And Lord, we pray that that church will grow. We continue to pray for our mission partners through Home Mission. But also, Lord, we pray for our BMS Link missionaries. And Lord, we pray you will be with them in Bangladesh and in East Asia, where they continue to serve you faithfully, even at this time. Lord, we pray for our partner church in Sofia. And we pray for Teddy and Diddy, that Lord, you will continue to grant them favour, and that people in that city will continue to come to know you. And Lord, as Grace Works, our school's ministry project, which we do alongside all the churches of this town, seeks to find a way to start up its activities again, we pray you will be with the staff and with the trustees of Grace Works at this time. And so, Lord, be with each one of us and use us for your glory. Amen. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 2, starting to read at verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of the other. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We sing again, Light of the World, here I am to worship.
Good evening. It's good to be with you. Wherever he went, he was treated with honour and respect. All around him, there was singing and praising and adoration. When he spoke, his bidding was done. He knew there was no one greater than he, and yet the care and love and compassion and gentleness that he bestowed showed truly his greatness, his heart. Wherever he went, there were the brightest of lights. The beauty of his surroundings glittered and caused his lights to dance and sparkle on every available surface, as far as the eye could see. Homage and honour were his due, and yet he never once abused that position. Might and majesty, power and authority were all of his, and yet those around him worshipped him for who he was and all that he represented. Whatever he touched, it flourished and it grew and it blossomed, and the word beauty could somehow come nowhere close to describing all that was around him. All that he could enjoy, all that was available to him, and yet, if I was to ask you what was the most beautiful or amazing place you've ever visited, or the best experience you've ever had, or the most beautiful piece of art or jewelry or sculpture that you've ever held or admired, do you know whatever answer you gave could never, ever come close to compare that which Jesus left behind when he left heaven to come to earth. In heaven, he was honored. Before coming to earth, he was rightly treated as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know if you've been one of those people who've ever been out to welcome or watch or see royalty coming past. You'll know that there's always a red carpet for them to walk on. Protocols are always followed. We've seen the crowds, and maybe you've been one of them, coming out to wave, just to be there in that moment, to take photographs, to take selfies maybe, to go home and report to our family, those moments that maybe they just could have spoken to you or to me. Perhaps you've handed over gifts or bouquets of flowers. Royalty. Members of the royal family are called His or Her Majesty because that is what they are. Whether they have, they have dominion and sovereignty. As royalty, they are treated as such. And whether they're like our royal family or the royal family that you see in other nations, with that role comes magnificence and pomp and ceremony and beautiful jewels and wonderful outfits and something that seems so far away from the lives of so many of us. If we look back in history, we know that the kings and queens of our past have had power and authority in a way that is different to now. And as we look back in our history, we realize how some of those kings and queens have abused that authority, that power, those privileges that were accorded to them or that they were able to bestow on others. Being royalty gave them special protection, and it meant that people treated them in particular ways. The position they held as members of the royal family may seem to be impressive, may seem to be of great scale and value and almost out of our reach. And yet, for all of that, it is nothing in comparison to that of the Son of God, of our Saviour, of our Heavenly King. And yet, in all that I have spoken so far, I still haven't come even close to describing the awesomeness of what Jesus did when he left heaven and came to earth. When he entered our world, not as a heavenly or an earthly prince or king, not with high status or authority or as a member of an important family, a family of rich in possessions and who had status. But he came as the son of a carpenter, of a mother who simply said yes when hearing a special request from God. And as we look at this passage this evening, we see in verse 6, in just those few words, where it talks about how he was in the very nature God, a glimpse of what I've attempted to describe in my words so far. Our service started by focusing in on creation, on the beauty of all that God has formed, on his might and his majesty, of all the things that we can see that remind us of how amazing God is. We look at creation and the whole variety of animals or birds or floor or whatever aspect of creation, and we realize just how versatile God is, how mighty he is, his eye for detail, his awesomeness. And Jesus was part of that. And yet all of that power and authority and privilege and honor that he had at his fingertips when he's in heaven, he left behind and came to earth as a tiny, helpless baby. He grew into a man that was at the beck and the call of all those around him. That Son of God who could command legion of angels, who could bring very life into existence, lived on earth with his earthly family, dependent on those who wanted to commission the skill of him and of Joseph the carpenter until such a time as his own ministry began. And yes, I'm well aware that we know this for ourselves. We know about the contrast that went on, and yet I still find it unfathomable. And when I think about that contrast between heaven and of earth, I say to myself, what right have I to complain? Sometimes we feel that life isn't fair. Sometimes we look around and think that others seem to have it easier than we do. Or we're tired, or we're hungry, or we're unsure of what to do next. And yet how can any of that compare with what Jesus did when he left heaven to come to earth? We may well be tired. We may well be facing uncertainty. We may well have fears and troubles and disappointments. Life may be hard. Life may not be fair. But it says in verse 5 of this passage, in our relationships with one another, we need to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And if we think about that, and think about what I've been trying to describe, where Jesus left the wonders of heaven to come down to earth, we realize just how infinite is his love. How strong is his love for us. How enduring is his love for us. And we are called to have the same mindset of Christ Jesus in our relationship one with another. And yet, Jesus came down to our level. He was a descendant from heaven to earth. Our theme for tonight, descendants. Jesus descended down to heaven to serve us as a servant, to challenge our dreams and our ambitions and our decisions so that we may become more like him. To be more willing to follow in his footsteps, to have his motivations in our hearts and not those born out of selfish ambition as I talked about a few weeks ago, or out of vain conceit, but to realize what he left behind and came down to live life here on earth is what we need to be, in a sense, grasping how willing and how great was his love for us that he did that. So little wonder then that in our relationships with one another, we need to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let me tell you about James. James had been waiting to have a conversation for a few days now. With his children tucked up in bed, he and his wife stood in the kitchen making packed lunches for the week ahead. James had rehearsed many different ways that he could introduce the topic. There's an opportunity that's come up at work. But somehow that sounded like it was all about him. He thought again. There's an opportunity for our family to have a whole new lifestyle. Yeah, this was better, but it sounded a bit like a sales pitch. Dubai is a very wealthy country, but a spiritual and literal desert, he thought. And as he thought about it, he'd probably realize he'd over-egged the sandwich that he was making and also the pitch as he approached that thought. So he decided just to dive in. "Darling," he said, "I've been offered a promotion at work. It's a lot more money, but it means a relocation to Dubai to look after the whole of the Middle East region." There was a long pause. Gemma burst into tears, dropping the remaining egg mayonnaise from her spoon onto the floor. He thought she was saying, between the sobs, "I'm so happy for you, but I feel so settled here." James knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He knew that this career that for him meant his family would have a whole better lifestyle if they moved out there. But he only had one family. He didn't want to mess it up. So who was he supposed to be in this situation? Leader? Provider? Risk taker? Sacrificer? And with only a week to make this massive decision, he knew he was going to be in for a week of sleepless nights. We'll continue with James's story in a few moments. But as I read it and I was reminded about, for those of you who are involved with the prayer course, you'll remember that moment where Pete was talking about how he and his wife had had to make that decision about what God was calling them to next. And he was talking about how they would pray and where they would serve and what was to be their next chapter in their lives. And he talked about how they'd included their four-year-old and their six-year-old in that decision-making process as they prayed together. And I understood that whole concept of what is God saying to us next, as we've been in that situation more than once. I'll say again, as I said in the prayer course, that whereas Pete and his wife included their 4 and 6 year old to pray about their future, we didn't do that, Ian and I. Rightly or wrongly, we just dragged our children with us because we felt that we were trusting God for what was to come next. And therefore, in that sense, God, we could trust God for what was right for us as a family. Have you ever known a James or his wife who's been faced with such a dilemma? Maybe James or his wife have come to one of us, seeking our wisdom as they have been faced with those life-changing decisions. And if we have, what would we say to them? What have we said to them? Well, of course, our first response is always, well, we need to pray about this. And yes, clearly that is the right thing to do. But maybe then we would turn to our Bibles and say, well, let's see what Scripture says. And I have to say that this isn't necessarily the go-to passage that I would choose if someone like James or his wife was coming to me. This passage that Paul is talking about, where he's challenging the believers in Philippi to reflect on what Jesus had done. In this passage, he reminds them that Jesus was willing to descend to our world, to leave behind the splendor of heaven in order to walk in our shoes. And if we take these verses seriously, as we should, then we do need to realize that we should be willing to follow Jesus with that same humble and downward attitude that Jesus displayed when he came to earth. And that humble and downward attitude of Jesus having descended down to earth is the way that we should be looking at our own dreams and our own ambitions and our own decisions and our own thinking and at our own situations. And also in the way that we look at others. Scripture tells us that we're called to love our neighbours as ourselves. But do we love them as God loves us, as he loves them? This passage reminds us that we are needing to look after them and treat them with the same mindset as Christ Jesus would do. But then if we were going to do that, and we think about the fact that Jesus left heaven to come down to earth, are we willing to change our mindset, our view, what we do, how we think about others in a similar way, with that humble and downward attitude that Jesus demonstrates. Are we willing to put aside our hopes, our dreams, our desires aside, or those of our family, because we think our neighbour is more important than us? It isn't easy, is it? But unlike Jesus, we're not being called to leave heaven to come to earth. Perhaps that's what we think to ourselves. We're not being asked to do that. No, we're not. We're not being asked equally to face death on a cruel, cruel cross. But we are being asked to adopt an attitude that is more like his. One that is motivated more by God's love for one another than one that's motivated by ourselves. So back to James. James knew the job opportunity was good for him and good for his career. But ringing in his ears were the words, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition." It says that in verse 3. He looked at his wife and he thought about how the move would affect her. One obvious example would be that there'd be no more need to make packed lunches on a salary like his new one would be. But then again, he would be dragging her away from her friends and from her family and from everything that was familiar. And he thought he knew which way he should go for the greatest collateral good. And so he continued to pray. For Jesus, he came into the world as a tiny, helpless baby. And he left it as a condemned, executed criminal hanging on a cross. Except, of course, we know that the story didn't end there. We know that there was victory over death. We know that it resulted in his glorious resurrection. We know that when he ascended back into heaven, it says here in verses 9 onwards, because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. So that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, would bow down in worship before Jesus Christ and call out in praise, "He is the master of all," to the glorious honor of God the Father. That was taken from the Message version. We've looked and focused in on God's creation and why God deserves our praise and our honor and our thankful, grateful hearts. As we've read this passage, we've been reminded that it's little wonder, really, that every tongue acknowledges that Jesus is Lord in heaven, and that for those of us on earth, we too should be following in those footsteps. We are his followers, and that means that we are also his spiritual descendants. And that means that we should be living as Jesus would want us to. And as we think about the enormity of what Jesus did when he came down to earth, and how for us that impacts on our lives, we should be thinking about our decisions. Whether they're great decisions or small decisions or everyday actions about where we should go or what we should do or who we should speak to or how we should act or with what we should intervene, all of that should be motivated and influenced by that humble and downward attitude of the Son of God, who descended from the glory and wonder of heaven to live here on this earthly land. Jesus came to die for each one of us, so that we in turn can experience the wonder of eternal life with God. And in turn, that too should impact on how we relate one to another. So when we complain that life isn't fair, that others seem to be treated better than we do, or that we can't get what we want out of life, that's not coming from an attitude that is unselfish and full of love and compassion. Not from the attitude that God would wish for us. Our lives are so much richer as a result of God sending his Son to earth for us. And maybe instead of complaining, instead of looking at others and wondering why they seem to be getting on better than we do, maybe we need to be looking at our hearts, giving thanks rather than complaining, and reminding ourselves, as it says at the beginning of our passage, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but rather looking to the interests of others. Because in our relationships with one another, we should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Amen. As our service comes to an end, we're going to sing that wonderful hymn that reminds us once again that Jesus is indeed crowned with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. And so our time together has come to an end. And whatever your week may hold, let us remember this passage here from Philippians of what Jesus has done for us and how he calls us to share some of that love and humility with those around us who we meet this week. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in our worship this evening.